Please be seated. We all sometimes experience very difficult things in our lives. It can be deep hurt, rejection, illness, bad grades, financial crises. And there are rare times in life where we may feel very much overwhelmed by these. And sometimes I think the devil can use our good theology against us in that we know that God is sovereign, and yet he has allowed these things that are so hard for us. And Job, speaking to his wife after he's lost his property, after he's lost his son, says, "Shall we indeed accept good and not accept adversity from the Lord?" And the word good there in Hebrew is ra, sometimes is evil. God does not do evil. But as those who understand that God is sovereign over all things, that he works all things after the counsel of his will, we question, why does God not relieve my suffering? Why does God allow things to happen as they do? And in my adult life with Caroline, there have been two great episodes that have really challenged us in this way. One is not like Job losing sons to literal death, but having sons, three sons, who up until young adulthood professed faith, and then one at the age of 19, one about the age of 15, and one when he was 26, turning away to different forms of the world. And we prayed for them. We did family devotions with them. We still pray for them. And yet we wonder, why has God not answered that prayer? And then, as most of you know, the other would be in April. Caroline and I have enjoyed such in the midst of that, enjoying what we would really regard as the happiest season in our marriage in terms of serving the Lord together and involvement with the students here and many other things. And Caroline gets a blood test back, and a number that's supposed to be 20 is 1,600. And we consult Dr. Google, and Dr. Google rightly diagnoses her as having multiple myeloma. But then the particular variety that Caroline had, according to Dr. Google, means the lifespan after detection can be as little as 2 years. And thankfully, she's in treatment. Actually, that's where we'll be this afternoon. We're hopeful for much better than that. But in each situation, it tests our faith. There can be weeping. There can be a lament. There can be wondering. And we also become aware of the suffering of others. And we have students and students for whom we're praying. And you have family members who are lost. You have parents who have cancer. You have experienced rejection in romantic relationship. You've struggled financially. You've been through betrayal of friends. So this is not unique to us, 1 Corinthians 10:13. What comes upon us is common to all of us. And my own experience has been, at the very lowest, there's been a passage in Scripture that has been for me kind of like if you think of a cartoon where the character is kind of inching towards a cliff, falls off the cliff, and there's always a branch there, right, for the whatever character got pushed off the cliff. And my branch has really been the phrase in John chapter 6 when Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" And I was hesitant to use this in chapel because I'm all about preaching the purpose of a passage. But then I actually heard one of these things by Dr. Kara online about the circle of meaning. And it really justified my message today in my own mind in that the meaning doesn't always have to be in the circle. And actually, this is more using the phrase like Spurgeon might have, where he takes some phrase. But I think it's still there, is that it's in the passage. But I do need to set the context. Is Jesus, at this point in the Gospel of John, the ministry has been advancing. The crowds are coming. In John chapter 3, it appears John the Baptist's disciples are kind of complaining, like everybody's going to this Jesus guy, the guy you baptized, and there appears to be some jealousy. After the feeding of the 5,000 in verses 14 and 15, in this chapter, verse 14, the people saw the sign he had performed, saying, "This truly is the prophet who has come into the world." And Jesus was perceiving they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king. He had to withdraw. And And you've got to imagine from the standpoint of the disciples, things are really looking up. And they're anticipating what was not yet to come in terms of the continued growth of the ministry, and that Romans are going to be driven out, and this is the prophet like Moses, this is the king like David. But then as we come to the end of the chapter, Jesus says some things that kind of shrink the crowd. And he says in verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him, and things like that. And in verse 60, it says, therefore many of his disciples who heard this said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And then you get to verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And it's kind of like a reverse altar call where you preach the truth and the people leave. F.F. Bruce said of this, what they wanted he could not give, and what he offered they would not receive. And this is something that can happen to us in ministry as well. People still claim to want a different Jesus than the one that's actually offered in Scripture. But that's not my main point today. Three points, though. The first is that things may happen in your life that you're just not going to understand. The disciples had to be troubled to see the crowd shrinking. And Luke 19, this is speaking of later, it says, they supposed the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And the Lord is going to allow into your life difficult things you don't understand. There are going to be disappointments in ministry. I've known couples who are willing to surrender in missions to go to places I would not even want to visit, but the money wasn't there for them to go. I've known of people who go to seminary and make great sacrifices, and yet the Lord does not lead them into full-time ministry. I know of those who yearn to be married and have been rejected in a romantic relationship, those who were married and have been abandoned. Some of us get passed over for a job, for an internship. And then some of us had experience of being slandered or canceled, no longer welcome at the cool kids table of whatever group we used to be a part of. There are hurts in ministry. Calvin writes, the more sincerely any pastor strives to further Christ's kingdom, the more he is loaded with spite and the more fierce the attacks upon him become. And some of you have experienced that. Many of you will. And it's hard to connect those hard realities with challenging, you know, with the doctrine that we believe. Perhaps one of the hardest is a loved one dies and they're not in the Lord. And having to, like Aaron when he watched his sons taken from him, Nadab and Abihu, just have to sit there and be quiet and humble yourself before God. And maybe a summary of this would be Deuteronomy 29:29a, the secret things belong to the Lord. So what do we do? Well, it's Deuteronomy 29:29b. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. What you need to do is what Peter does, is cling to what you know. Verse 67, so Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, the question Jesus asks here, you know, are you guys leaving also, essentially? It's a little bit like is recorded in the other Gospels of who do you say that I am? After you've listened to my teaching, after you've seen these miracles, after you've seen the 5,000 fed, but now you see the crowds leaving, are you going to stay? And again, Peter does not speak in the first person singular, but plural. Who, to whom else? We will go. We have believed. He speaks for the rest. And as Jesus says elsewhere, it's the Father who has revealed that to him. But so it is for us when things are really difficult. There is nowhere else you can go. There's nowhere, no one else to whom you can turn. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And he was also frustrated by injustice. And in the context here, when Peter says that, I'm not going back to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Not going to go to the Roman and the Greek gods, not to go to the philosophers. And for us, when there's sorrow over sickness, there's sorrow over hurts in ministry, there's sorrow over unsaved loved ones, there's no other place to go. There's not another religion that's more attractive. And I said, this has been my branch. This is not just theoretical to me. There have been times when, if I were to read the diagnostic statistics manual of the psychologists, and I would look at their criteria for clinical depression, I would have qualified. I didn't take pills. I'm not telling you can't, but I did not. But it's tempting to just be overwhelmed. But this was the branch in the sense there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing better. Spurgeon writes, to find peace, he said, try to find peace and comfort in ceremonies is to construct a ladder out of your good works. Would you want to live a careless life and go back to the pleasures of the world? No, never. That those are broken cisterns that hold no water. There's nowhere else to go. There's no happiness to be found outside of fellowship with Christ and away from his people. Matthew Henry, shall we return to sin? Shall we leave the fountain of living waters for broken cisterns? Then John Piper said, if you can offer me a better deal than God does, then I will stop being a Christian. But you can't. There's nowhere else to go. And so even if we don't understand the secret things in terms of why don't my sons believe? Why does my wife have cancer? Why is this opportunity I seek not there? Why did the people who once liked me don't like me anymore? So bringing us to the next aspect, though, is the positive part is the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever is remember and affirm what you do know. Peter makes this great confession of faith. You have the words of eternal life. There's only one source of spiritual food. There's only one source of living water, of true bread. And we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We have experienced in his word among his people the truth of these things. And again, this is my branch. And I've expanded it a bit beyond that, but of course, especially what Peter is saying here, we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And I do this when people I'm counseling as well. One of the benefits of suffering, as 2 Corinthians 1 says, is we're able to comfort others with the comfort we have received from Christ. And when someone's really down and really despairing, but I know they're a Christian, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he's born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life? Do you believe that he willingly went to the cross to make propitiation for your sins and for all who believe in him? Do you believe your sins are forgiven? Do you believe that he's been raised from the dead? That's faith strengthening. That's the branch. Even if I don't understand what God is doing, even if I'm tempted to be a bit like Job and cry out, and I know I've not suffered nearly like Job has, but these are the things I know. They're the things I know as I read the scriptures. My faith is strengthened. I know that the Bible in of itself is the word of God. And as I read of creation, evolution, chance, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The family and God's beautiful design for husband and wife and children, that which the world rejects, and yet it's so clear in Scripture, and it's so beautiful and so evident. And so we need to strengthen our faith by clinging to the branch. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As we look at that which is seen, we can become very discouraged. But how do we build our faith? Well, again, we affirm what we know. We cling to that. We fix our minds upon it. It was a joy even today to sing with you. And the voices of God's people raised together in community and fellowship, especially in the church, it strengthens our faith to hear others affirming these things. John wrote his whole gospel that we might have faith, and that faith isn't just once to believe in Christ, but it's to build that faith, the reading of the Word of God and clinging to it and thanking God for it, to praise God for what we do know to be true. And then also to be thankful and remember his past faithfulness to you, which is so much the theme in the Psalms, is looking back, the Exodus, other times, even we don't understand what's going on now. So some of you may be walking through these hard times. Some of you will later walk through those times. I'll bring up one more point that's not in the center of the circle, but on the edge in the 23rd Psalm, which to me goes along with this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the one word out of that is walk. I'm not camping in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not stuck there. I'm not going to be there forever. That God has promised one day we will see him, we will be like him. One day every tear will be taken away and there will be joy in his presence. And so when I'm in that valley, to know the Lord is still with me, to know we will come out of it, to hang on to the branch of what he has revealed, what we know, even that his spirit has convicted us of these things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving faith to Peter, to the apostles, when all others were falling away, that they still trusted Jesus. You know the situation of each one here, and I'm sure there are some here who are troubled and overwhelmed. I pray that you would help them to remember what they know, to cling to the things revealed, that you would strengthen our faith by your word, that we would have the assurance of things we hope for and the conviction of things we do not yet see. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.